Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
This episode of Catitude is brought to you by Meow Greens. Get a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to meowgreens.com and use promo code Catitude.
Feline friends, welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. Now, this, I was told, is episode 268. I have never had a topic quite like this, so I'm really excited. My guest today is a contributor to a book that talks about cats in horror, sci-fi, and fantasy movies. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Christopher Robinson. He is one of the collaborators of several for the book Meow, Cats in Horror, Sci-Fi, and Fantasy Movies. Welcome, Chris. Can I call you Chris?
Yeah, of course. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Thanks for having me, Michelle. Yeah.
I'm very excited to have you. Can you share a little bit about your background? I know you're one of several collaborators on the book. This is quite a book.
Yeah, it's like a compendium of basically, it's pretty exhaustive, just about every cat-themed horror and sci-fi, you know, movie known is probably mentioned in it. My background is, I was generally writing about Western history and film for a period, because I was the senior editor of an online publication called Western Magazine Digest. But over the years, I've been contributing to these reference guides that Vanessa Morgan has been publishing. She's actually in Belgium. They call her the Stephen King, the female Stephen King of Belgium. Well, of anywhere, I guess. But she's the one that sort of agglomerates all these international writers. And her, you know, cats are an obsession for her. She's written novels about cats, and she's written these film reference guides about horror and sci-fi. But this time she coalesced her two favorite interests and made a whole reference guide that just covers every cat-themed horror and fantasy and sci-fi film out there.
This is, and that's Vanessa Morgan?
Yes, Vanessa Morgan. Yeah. There's another celebrity named Vanessa Morgan that's probably more known in North America, but this Vanessa Morgan's pretty popular in Belgium and Europe. She's in charge of a lot of film festivals, and some of her books have become films too.
Okay, now what about you? I know you're a writer. Are you into cats?
I'm not into cats. I'm into films, though.
Films, okay.
Big film buff, yeah. But since I helped her out with these other reference guides, I guess she coaxed me into kind of giving her something for this. But there were some films that I was a fan of that have cats in them. So, you know, it was an easy thing to, yeah.
Maybe they're calling to you. Maybe adoption, you know?
Yeah. Maybe this is getting me prepped for a new pastime.
Prepped to be a cat daddy.
Yeah, right.
So what was the reasoning behind the book? So why did Vanessa decide, I am going to write an exhaustive reference guide about cats in horror, sci-fi, and fantasy movies?
Yeah, well, I guess when her first reference guide that she put together, it was called When Animals Attack, the 70 movies, best movies with killer animals. And I think while she was putting that together, she was thinking that it would be great if she could do the same thing with one that just centered on cats. And the more she edited that book, the more I guess she discovered that there were plenty of those kind of subgenres out there that you could actually fill up another reference guide with that, and that it would also be interesting to people and marketable, you know.
As I went through this reference guide, I couldn't help noticing that there are a lot of movies about cats. There's horror, there's sci-fi and fantasy that's mentioned. How many movies are actually, I didn't count them, how many movies are actually mentioned?
Well, there's about at least 80 that are with main entries, and then there's an additional chapter that covers just memorable scenes with cats in certain films, so that you could have those important moments mentioned without devoting an entire essay to something that you couldn't write about as much. But it goes back to the beginning of cinema. I think one of the first Thomas Edison films featured a couple of cats boxing. They had like gloves on and had them doing like a sparring little boxing match. And I don't know how realistic it was or what it looked like, but it sounds like something I might want to see one day.
Was that the first film ever with cats?
That might have been, that might have been one of the very first ones, if not the first one, because that's like before the 20th century, that something like the 1890s, I think, when he was doing these experiments.
That's pretty incredible. I've talked about this on the show before, but not in the genre of film. We were discussing it was more with Halloween, but this is not that. And Halloween is many months away. Unless you're listening again to this show during Halloween, thank you. But let's talk about this. Why are there so many cats in horror movies? You know, again, with the black cats, the cats and the witches, I get that. But just in your opinion, as, you know, an expert, you wrote about this, you're a writer, you're a fan of the films. You hear about horror cats. You hear about, you know, bewitching cats. But not so much like, say, dogs. I mean, except for werewolves, and that's quite a dog, you know, different. So why cats?
Yeah, there's something that, you know, the imagery of cats has always, I think, spurred people's imaginations and fantasies. I guess it goes back to their mysterious, their sometimes mysterious sort of persona, you know, and their eyes and the way they can move around, the whole nocturnal thing. And that's always fed into people's imaginations in terms of what you can do cinematically and in literature and so on, which is probably why they're the subject of so many fantastical and horrific films and videos and books. Or they could just be in the periphery sometimes. They're a part of the storyline or just off to the side. But their imagery is memorable, even in a story that doesn't concentrate specifically on cats or they don't figure into the story at all.
It made me think about cats, and all three of mine have very distinct personalities. I think the one that would be best in film is Molly, because she does have that look. I think you hit it on the head when you said their eyes, because cats' eyes are so unique. And, you know, sometimes it's the shape of their eyes. So, for instance, my cat Dennis, he's part Maine Coon. His are rounder. He always has the innocent eye. Like, what, me? I didn't do it, you know, like that innocent round. But
yeah, that's their personalities, right?
Yeah, and he has that personality. Molly's are like more evil looking, and she's a diva, and she can be evil. So sorry, Molly, but you know.
Well, we should sign her up, maybe.
Yeah, she's tuxedo.
One of these to make it into a film, right?
Yeah, she has to get in better shape, though. She's a little fat.
I think those cats that did the prize fighting made like $35 a week or something like that, and that wasn't too bad in those days.
Prize fighting.
Yeah, those boxing cats.
Hopefully fake.
Yeah, well, they didn't have, ASPCA back then, but hopefully, somebody was making sure it didn't get too crazy.
Yeah. Okay, So let's get back to the movies. Like I said, there is a lot of movies. If you like cats and you like movies, this is the book for you. Now, I mentioned black cats, but there's not only black cats. I saw gingers. I saw white cats. I saw what I think is gray, because some of these are in black and white. Most of them are in black and white. All of them are in black and white, actually. So there's something mystique about cats. What I find interesting is cats can be depicted as mysterious, as evil, as sexy. You hear that? Dogs are not considered sexy, but cats are.
Catwoman from the Batman comics. They never had dog woman. Yeah.
Cats have all these stereotypes placed on them for different reasons. Why do you think that is?
Well, it goes back to ancient cultures, ancient Egypt. They had a god, right? A goddess, cat goddess.
They did.
Bast, yeah. And it's in ancient Rome, ancient Greece, Japanese and Chinese cultures, Nordic mythology. Because cats have always been around, and maybe that they've had this long-lasting impact too. So their image just kind of transcends storytelling almost, it predates it. Goes back to the spoken folklore, just spoken stories before they could write down histories and tell their stories through different mediums.
That makes a lot of sense. And thanks to the magic of AI, I think the Egyptian cat you were thinking of is Bastet.
Bastet. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even in that, the old mummy, Boris Karloff, it has no cat subplot, but it figures, the heroine's cat figures into the story after, towards the finale. And I think Boris Karloff is taken back just by her cat because of his... ancient, he's actually this ancient mummy, and it goes back to, his faith. No one covered that, I don't think, that movie in the book, but that could have been one, just because of the subtext of it,
There were a few that I looked up that I didn't see listed, but there are so many listed. What is your favorite cat horror or sci-fi or fantasy film? Or one of each?
I really like Shadow of the Cat, it's a black and white film from the early 60s, which was about this, it was a woman with a cat, with her pet cat. She was reading, I don't know if it was Poe, but she was reading some poetry to her cat when she was killed by her ex-husband and some of the servants that he used to help him knock her off. And after that point, there's a big gathering of all the benefactors of her will. And the cat is still roaming the grounds, making them all nervous because I guess Tabitha is the name of the cat. And Tabitha witnessed the murder, and Tabitha is the only one who knew who did it. And they're all very guilty and apprehensive, and they're out to try and forge a new will and get the fortune and get away with murder. But the cat isn't going to let them do it. So it's... like a unique kind of story that actually, it's kind of a theme I don't think too many other filmmakers have touched upon, but it's not even that well known of a film, I guess. But I thought it was a good one, and it's a black cat too, so it falls into the black cat category, pun intended.
The black cat category is like a love and hate relationship on Catitude, because while we love black cats, but there's a stigma which causes people to adopt black cats right around, a lot of shelters won't, adopt out black cats around Halloween because they get adopted out. People like, use them as their costumes, and then they either let them loose or return them to the shelter.
Okay. Yeah. That I didn't know, but I was aware that there was, they had problem. They had more black cat in shelters that have a less chance of getting adopted.
Very true.
But there are more black cats.
Not only cats, dogs too, but definitely with black cats. Probably goes back to superstition.
Goes back to the bad luck thing, yeah.
Yeah, which we know is just superstition. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Hey guys, Michelle Fern here. Is your cat slowing down or having health issues? Do you wonder, what can I do to make him feel better? Well, Meow Greens added to your cat's food for 90 days will show amazing results. Guaranteed. Invented by naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, Meow Greens wants to invite you to give your cat the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. I couldn't believe the changes I saw in Dennis. In the first 30 days, you should see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system and improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients you've added to their diet. At day 90, better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you just might have reduced their cancer risk. For a free, yes, I said free, Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today, go to roughgreens.com and just use the promo code CATITUDE. That's RUFFGreens.com. And use the promo code CATITUDE. You just cover shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a scoop of Meow Greens.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm talking to Christopher Robinson. He is a collaborator of the book Meow, Cats in Horror, Sci-Fi, and Fantasy Movies. Okay, so moving along with my questions on cats in horror, sci-fi, and fantasy movies, which I don't watch that many of them. I have watched some, probably more sci-fi than fantasy and horror. I don't watch a lot of horror because then I can't sleep. But very interesting how the cats are depicted. It's also interesting to me that this is not just something in North America. We're based in the U.S. We have lots and lots of listeners, which I'm always grateful for in the U.S. But our listeners are all over the world because, you know, digital, we're on the internet. So with that in mind, it's interesting that this book has films from all over the globe. What country do you think has the most?
I think Japan.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. They have a whole subgenre just about supernatural cats. So that's a popular thing right there. There's a multitude of movies and stories made just about those type of cats. But that's probably, like China, I think that's something that's been in their culture for a long time, that kind of those entertainment ideas.
And the other thing is, I had a show a long time ago, and cats are just, they're very popular in Asia, and they're also popular. I think they have, I might be getting this wrong, so somebody will send me an email and correct me, but I believe either in China or Japan, cats are actually considered good luck, not bad luck.
It's interesting, yeah, because it depends, like, whether whose culture is influenced by neighboring, country's culture or something like that, you know. And that would make sense that another region would see it in a totally different way and proliferate a different kind of tradition. There's even that the Yule cat, which is, I guess that's Nordic. It's supposed to be that it's like a myth of a giant killer cat. I would equate it to sort of like children's tales, fairy tales, to encourage kids to be good children by remembering certain fairy tales. I think in the case of the Yule cat, it's a monster that comes out when the Norwegian children, if they haven't done their chores before Christmas, the cat will know by the way the house looks, and then the cat will emerge from the shadows, you know.
Saint Nick not to bother.
Yeah, I guess I would imagine that would do the trick. That would scare me into doing my chores.
That would. Okay, so I got clarification. It's Japan, Scotland, and parts of England that consider black cats good luck. I remember doing a show way back, and it was actually Japan that was what I had previously talked about, that black cats are considered good luck. And there's actually really nothing against black cats crossing your path. Don't do anything other than any other cat crossing your path. But there's the stigma of imagination, which will cause people to say, something bad happens after I see a black cat. Let's attribute it to the black cat.
Right. You have to blame something or someone, right?
Yeah, of course. So I found in going through the book, I found some that I found interesting. There's a few popular movies. These are the ones that I found that are most popular. Horror, Pet Sematary. You talk about the 1989 and 2019 version. Cat's Eye. And of course, The Black Cat with Edgar Allan Poe. And then for science fiction, Alien. And then The Cat from Outer Space. Fantasy, there's just a lot. And when you mention Japan, because a lot of it is anime, is that my
opinion? Yeah, anime, yeah.
So there's a few movies in that style as well.
Yeah, it's pretty predominant, I believe, yeah, in that genre as well.
Yes. And there's even, you even discuss TV shows. So whenever anybody thinks of a TV show, they think of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, right, with the talking cat.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Forget the name of the cat.
Right. And then this is an old, I wasn't around when this came out, but I've seen it. Bewitched.
Right. Yeah.
Because I think in the intro.
That was a black cat from what I recall.
Yeah. Like she has a cat jump into arms and it becomes her husband in the intro.
Yeah. That went along with the witch stereotype.
Mm-hmm. The witch stereotype. Yep.
Yeah. You mentioned the cat jumping. That's even considered like a cliche in suspense movies or horror movies. The cat jump. Where it's one of those false scares where you want to get the audience to get a rise, get a big jump, you know, jump out of their seats without showing any horror, like just a faker, you know. Oh, it's right. Just the cat, you know. So they'll throw a cat into some of those horror pictures just so they can do that, you know, at some point.
Okay, if you were to write your next movie and it had cats and it was either horror, science fiction, which would you choose when, what kind of a movie would it be?
Yeah, I would go in the science fiction route because you could project all your ideas alongside some of the tropes and mythology that's already out there with what you can sort of foresee in the future in a time that hasn't happened with technology maybe taking the story into a different direction that nobody's really covered yet. So I'd probably go the science fiction route for that reason. And I think cats, you know, could figure into that kind of scenario very, very interestingly.
I agree with you. Okay, with everything we've talked about cats and with just every, you know, you're a writer, you've written about all kinds of things. Is there any other animal? I know we think of cats as our fur babies, but they are an animal that could fit into movies or even books, not as a book about cats, but where cats are either a side character or the main character. Is there any other animal that could fit into that role? Because I can't think of one. Maybe rodents a little bit, but that's, I don't want to talk, that's, ugh, you know.
Yeah, that when you said rodent, that reminded me of that movie Willard. That's what came to mind. But they brought cats into that also, into that storyline. But yeah, you're right. It's hard to sort of imagine another kind of animal, whereas you could tell those, you could do the same things in terms of these films, you know, right. And these stories and these TV shows.
I couldn't see a dog, and I love dogs too. I love cats and dogs and lots of other things. Couldn't see a dog, couldn't see a ferret, couldn't see a fish, couldn't see a lizard, iguana, snake. I mean, snakes can be a little creepy, but I can't see a snake having that range. Just in horror, maybe, not the range. Horse, no. Turtle, pig, duck, goat.
Yeah, we can see ourselves a little.
Or we could sit here and just go through them. But I think that's why people either, you know, they have such a love-hate relationship with cats. Not that many people hate cats. Only a small percentage, actually. Not everybody has cats because of allergies. But I think the people that don't like cats, I think just don't get them because they are stoic creatures. They're not easily read, which could be part of the mistake and why they're so successful in, you know, these types
right.
of films.
That's true. There's an inscrutability about them and there's a human, an almost human aspect. And that's why we can't envision that. I think like a dog doing some of these same things.
No, never. Where can people purchase Meow! Exclamation point. Cats in Horror, Sci-Fi, and Fantasy Movies. And it is by Vanessa Morgan.
Yeah, I almost forgot the exclamation point myself. Yeah.
Well, I put an exclamation point because if you're doing, a lot of folks do, you know, searches, and if you look just up meow, you're not going to find this. It's meow. Yeah. Exclamation point. Cats in horror, sci-fi, and fantasy movies. Where can we buy it?
Well, Amazon is, I think, the best outlet to order.
Okay, thanks. And do you have anything cat-related that you're working on soon?
Well, actually, Vanessa Morgan will be trying out a similar reference guide, but with the dog theme. So maybe we'll find out some of the answers to what you and I were just speculating. If that, you know, comes together, I guess it'll be just like this, but it'll be dogs, I believe, in horror and horror movies. Maybe there'll be a lot more of those than we realized existed, just like we didn't know there were so many cat horror movies.
Right. Who knows? Well, Chris, thank you so much for coming on Catitude.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it immensely.
My feline friends, I hope you enjoyed this show. I've never had a show quite like this before. Again, the title of the book is Meow! Exclamation point, Cats in Horror, Sci-Fi, and Fantasy Movies. And it is a great reference book for all of you horror, sci-fi, and fantasy movie lovers that also, of course, love cats. Thanks to my guest, Christopher Robinson, for coming on the show. Thanks to my cat crew, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly. I think Molly would be the diva. She would be the best one in films, but Dennis probably is. He listens better, so maybe he would be. Who knows? And thank you, of course, to my listeners of Catitude. I appreciate your listenership so much. Thank you very much. And this show would not be possible without the magic of my producer, Mark Winter. Thank you, Mark, for all you do. And remember, lose the attitude, have catitude.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.